Veal 2. Yes, I'd like to ask you a lot more about Cairo and your houseboat on the Nile, but could you bear with me if I go back to the hospital ship Atlantis? And you were saying that you'd had enough, really. By what time was it? January 1942, I think, you went to Cairo.
Yes.
Was it a very exhausting...
No, it was not that. I felt I needed to be nearer the action. Where we were getting immediately, you see, we were taking some convalescent that we carried down, you see, a certain number, and I felt I needed to be doing more. I wanted to get nearer the action. And that was my reason for getting transferred.
And this hospital that you went to in Cairo, could you tell me about that?
Scottish General Hospital. It was built by the British, if I remember rightly, and beautifully equipped for the Egyptians. And they never used it, you see. We immediately went in and took it over. And it was a beautiful hospital. All the operating theatres, all beautiful green tiles, and absolutely lovely all around, and wonderful equipment. We had everything we needed. Four operating theatres. It was wonderfully equipped, and the beds, and masses of beds, and the balconies outside, you know. It was a wonderful place, and then it was on the banks of the Nile, and we lived in the houseboats opposite. And that was very good. We worked hard in those days there. Quite long hours, but nevertheless, it was very exciting. It was really worthwhile. But we got out, of course. We had our off moments and went into Shepherd's Hotel and the usual places. Mm.
Well, would there have been very rushed periods when a particular battle was ongoing?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Can you remember any particular?
On one occasion, I was. We all had to go to on night duty, and I was put in charge one night on the operating there at the in charge of the whole hospital, you see, as night sister in charge. And if we had a convoy in, or might be sort of 200 or so in, and I had to write a report for the colonel for next morning, giving the names and numbers and ranks of everybody who'd been admitted and with a little notice of the injury. But they came in, they had to be checked by the wardmaster to come to me with all the details, and this had to be done every morning. That was a pretty hair-raising. Getting them into beds and getting them fixed up, and that some were dangerously ill, some were seriously ill. One was not allowed to die on the seriously ill list. You had to be on the dangerously ill, transferred before you were allowed to die. But it was, you know, it was pretty hair-raising, some of it. But,
and what sort of state would they have been in? Would some of them have come from a fairly long distance in
well,
the area?
Well, yes, but would have been field ambulances. They would have been patched up before they got to us, you see. We were a base hospital. And so a lot of them would have been well patched up to get down to us. And I suppose there were lots of hospitals, you see, in Cairo, quite a number. Mm-hmm. I was never with her. I didn't know her in Cairo. There were three different hospitals, large ones, and desert hospitals as well. Yes.
And again, would you assess the situation as one that was coping with the casualties?
Oh, yes, indeed, because I think there were enough base hospitals, quite enough base hospitals, I would think. I mean, we didn't have the, it wasn't like a casualty station where you had to put them anywhere around the floor and what have you, that came later. But in Cairo, out in the Middle East, I think there was always somewhere to put them. It's only in tents. Yes.
And were you getting different nationalities in your hospital?
Yes, very much so. Yes, and especially the Gurkhas, you know, the Indians. And of course, there were medical wards there. There were beautiful wards for. We had a lot of dysentery and all those, you see, medical cases. And what do we have? Smallpox, all sorts of things you had out there. I'm trying to think. My brain goes a bit at times. But the medical wards were separate from the surgical wards. But there was an awful lot of orthopaedic work went on out there, you know, a tremendous amount of amputations and what have you. And of course, there was no question of getting limbs and that out there. They all had to come home for that. But I think the worst were the spinal injuries. The spinal and head injuries were the worst of all. And you see, the nursing was pretty heavy. There was all of these spinal cases. They all had to be turned every 2 hours. It was very hard. But there were a lot of wonderful women out there, you know, sort of, I suppose, they'd been army officers' wives and what have you, and people who did good work. So they used to come in and help quite a lot, you know, and provide occupational therapy. And if they've got cars and they're able to, a person's able to go out, they'd take them out to drive round about and take them to tea at Groffy's and that sort of thing, you know. Mm. But actually, as I say, we did, it was quite a busy time, always busy.
And you were there quite a long time, I believe, weren't you?
I came back in the, I think it was the Christmas, January 44, yes, because it was in 44 was the invasion, wasn't it? We came back, I don't know if it was just before Christmas, I think.
Yes, but before you come back, because that's another very interesting period, isn't it, when you went over to Normandy,
yes.
You would have been there, presumably, in the Middle East, during a lot of the very big battles.
Oh, yes, Alamein. We were there at Alamein, very much so. Yes, we remember. I remember, in actual fact, that I had been I was in Cairo, and I think I'd gone to Alexandria, or was it Port Said, for the weekend. I'd been working very hard, and I got 3 days off, and I'd gone there. We used to go to the YWCA days, if you know, a break. And I remember coming back from Alexandria, across the desert that day, and that was when we could hear the guns in the distance, you know. And that was when Alamein started. Yes. And that was really quite a big... But it's interesting, you know, the people in Cairo, when they thought the Germans were hammering on the gate of Cairo, they didn't want the British at all. They just rubbish. But when the tables were turned, then we were all very popular again. It's interesting. Mm.
Yes, because you must have lived there, or you know, been working there, during a sort of Rommel advances
as
well.
Yes. But we didn't get as much information ourselves then. You see, we were so taken up with nursing anyway, we didn't really get an awful lot of news. I'm afraid we were not doing there. Unfortunately, we didn't keep diaries and know what was going on in that desert. We just got these stories from people coming down. I tell you the interesting people, the long-range desert group, you know, behind the lines, they were wonderful people.
Did you have many of them in?
Oh, yes. Yes, quite a few we had in. One young South African, I remember him so well. It was very funny because they thought that some of the patients that were admitted had got grenades on them, you see, and what have you. And... they hadn't been used, and the great thing was to get rid of these and get them out of the way quickly. And I remember we had there was a ward sister on the officer's block, and she was terribly amused. And she said, "Oh dear night," she said, "this man has got a bomb, send for the ward master, send for the..." It was quite funny. And eventually the bomb disposal people came along, and it was a sort of contraption for filling up. It was quite fun.
Did you have many burn cases from the tanks? You know?
Well, there were, yes. I think they went to a different unit, but we didn't have a specific burns unit in the 15th Scottish. I think they went to another hospital. Yes, we didn't have them actually very much in the 15th Scottish.
How about blood supply?
We had a really adequate amount. We had a blood bank, and the there were three or four of them that ran this blood bank in the pathology department. And that was very much in evidence, you know. As I say, I did more work on the in the operating theatres than in the wards. But though they had them, it was salines and that sort of thing. Oh yes, it was available all the time. I don't know how they kept it going, but they did. Mm.
Did you notice developments in sort of medicine and drugs during the war?
Well, it wasn't until we went over to Normandy that we got the penicillin. That was when it first came, and very raw it was in the beginning. You had a tablet, you melted in a spoon, in a little distilled water, threw it up in a syringe and gave it to them. And it, I can tell you it was painful, because at a later stage, I had pneumonia and was in hospital for a week, and they gave me some, and it was the most painful injection I've ever had. It was very crude, but it was very effective. But that came, didn't come until we were not using it. Until Normandy.
And the people working in the hospitals, would it have been RAMC?
Oh, yes.
They were
surgeons from all over, but they were not, they were not regular RAMC. They just, they were from all the London hospitals, the top men. Oh, they're wonderful people that I knew. I've worked with them since then in London. And a lot of them I knew before the war, coming from Guy's and from St. Thomas's and all the London hospitals and various other hospitals, in the country. Oh yes, they were all the first. We had the top men working.
And orderlies. Did you ever have Egyptian orderlies?
Well, these the Sephardis, they worked, did the cleaning. They did all the cleaning. And but in this hospital that I was in, I was fortunate because it was some all marble floors, and they used to come in and do the the shuffle with their feet every day. But they were all of these chaps. They did the cleaning. The orderlies did all the drinks and all a lot of jobs. There were all so many orderlies on all the wards, and they shave the men and do all the necessary things. Yes, they were some quite interesting people. I had Lord Tedder. He was a patient of mine.
And, tell me about a Lord Tedder.
I loved him, dearly. And all these people, and of course Auchinleck came in, and Montgomery, they used to come and visit the officers, put the top block for the officers in Cairo. So we had a lot of those trips. A lot of people, the top men came, either visiting if they were not patients, but Tedder was a patient of mine.
What was wrong with him at the time?
I can't just remember. I think he'd had some bronchitis or pneumonia or something like that. It was a medical condition. He wasn't wounded or anything like that.
Was he an easy patient?
He's very funny, then. I went into him one morning, and he'd have his vice chaps come along. It's very important. And they came in, and he sort of growled at them and said, "You're 5 minutes late." And I said, I got a thermometer out, and I'm putting it in his mouth, and I said, "Be quiet, and let them have their say." There were some quite distinguished people, and Prince Paul of Greece, he was there also as a patient. There were quite a number of distinguished people, actually. And then we had some of there was the old Chief Senussi, the Saranaca, then he came in, and he was there. He was a patient of. He was just a urinary infection he had, or something wrong with his bladder, and so one of our top men looked after him. But it was difficult to do so, I suppose. Mm.
Would these people have had special facilities in the hospitals? Private rooms, that sort of thing?
Oh, we had. The officers' block. They had the junior people below the rank of major one side, and the matron above that side. But they were vast, they were lovely rooms, and they're beautiful. Mm. Oh, yes.
Talking of ranks, what rank were you?
Well, we were all rank. We had a lieutenant. I was at the end in the Catholic clearing station, but the war was over then. I was supposed to be acting captain, but unpaid. We were all lieutenants, really, just to give us a rank, you see. Mm-hmm.
And being a QA, did you find working in a hospital like, the big Cairo one, that there was a sort of hierarchy of QAs? Yeah. Were you? How did you
never,
work?
Never. Mm. The matron there, Miss Clavy, she was a very large lady, and she was in her 60s then, and she'd been on the reserve, I should think, since the First World War. But she was a lovely little girl, and she was the boss woman, but otherwise we were all. She was the only one that we had to sort of answer to. the rest of us, we got on doing our job, and we had our wards to run, or the theatre to run, and we did our own thing. We were solely in charge of our department. But she was the supervisor. If there was any hitches, of course, we had to go to her. Yes.
And your social life, you know, your off-duty life,
yes.
What was that like?
Well, on the whole, when we during the breaks, if we were not all at busy, we had very good life, because we used to go out to all these officer chaps, they do know they're quite well, and that, and they'd take us out for dinner and dance at Shepherd's Hotel and Mina House. We'd go out to Mina House for weekends, because we could swim out there, you see. And I remember one Sunday morning, I climbed to the top of the pyramid. That was great fun. But my God, I could hardly walk when I got down. But we did, and we had our, of course we had, in Cairo we had much more of a life like that, but there again. We had some very good times, actually, and I had a week, and went out to, I went to Suez and stayed down there, and I went to Alexandra for the odd week, you know, stayed there. And just to get away from it all, you know. Well, we did have our breaks from time to time. But,
yes, you must have needed them from the, you know, description of your job.
The height of the summer, you know, when there was an awful lot of sandfly fever and that about, you know, we used to get really, I remember, I get awfully exhausted at times. I had to do all the working in the theatre, but it's all they all wanted. But you forget about those things, you know, when.
Yes. Did you find it at all upsetting? You know, I was thinking of the very different nature of nursing in a military situation with young men sort of being very...
Well, of course, there were times when it was very sad. I remember particularly with these head cases. I always remember one young man, and he was very... He had gunshot wounds to his head, and he was a bit like that. And... at times, I'd ask him about his family and what have you, and he said he had a girlfriend, and he bought a beautiful compact for her, I remember so well. He bought this lovely thing, he said he was taking it home to her, or sending it to her for a birthday. But sadly, he died. And I thought, now, I don't know, you see, all his belongings go to his parents, I wonder if this girl will get it. So I'm afraid I did the things I shouldn't have done, I took it out and sent it to her. Well, you know, there are things like that, you know what? I thought if it had been me at home, you know, one just tries to think of things like that. But, I don't know. I don't know whether she ever got it because I'd moved away, you see, and I didn't suppose she could ever trace it. That didn't matter. I know it went to her anyway. But there were odd things like that, little incidents, you know. And it was terribly sad to see these chaps because on the houseboat, I took a couple of men over for tea one afternoon with these officers, you see, to come over and have a cup of tea on the houseboat. And they came, and it was a bit sad because they knew they should remove something. Instead of removing their hats, they'd remove their shoes. Or, you know, they just were not... it was very sad. Mm-hmm. Lots of very sad cases there. And there were some desperate... And the blind ones, you know, they were definitely dreadful. But we had a wonderful surgeon... eye surgeon there, Hyla Stellard, his name was, and his wife was awfully good. And we sent a lot of these down to to Durban, and she was in touch. And when they were transferred home, she visited all of them in their homes. I know that. She was a wonderful person. But he was marvellous, he was brilliant. But there again, the ladies of Cairo, they used to come and take them out to tea and roundabout, and they were very good too. A lot of good people you know out there during the war. Everywhere. And in Durban, of course, they used to take them in and take them around and do things well. Mm.
Your houseboat, were you comfortable on this?
Oh, yes, it was only a very small... You had your own cabin, but there was only a small bunk and a tiny cupboard, you know, there's not very much of it. Yes, we were quite comfortable, but you never knew quite what was going to happen. If there's a part... The Safravis that looked after us, you see, and cleaned up. One day, one of them had been out, and I think he was a bit of a more pro-German. And I was going into my cabin one day, and there was a scuffle at the end of the corridor. And I went to my bed, and I moved the pillow for some reason. There was a gunman behind it. I think he was out to do something to somebody. He was arrested and taken away as well. But little on, you know, things like that happen.
Did you ever meet any pacifists, conscientious objectors, who were helping in
the... No, I didn't. I can truthfully say I didn't actually meet up with one. I'm sure they were there, but I wouldn't have met any of them. I just didn't meet any of them. They were all awfully nice chaps around. Really, I think that they were all trying to be helpful. Maybe they must have listened in any shape or form at any time. I mean, there were people who liked better than others, naturally, but that's certainly him.
Again, you know, mentioning as you have that you were treating enemy patients as well, did this also happen in Cairo?
Oh, yes.
You were looking after...
Yes, I don't think that I met many of them. I didn't see many. I don't think they came much to the King's College. Again, I think they went out to the desert hospitals where it was a bit rougher. You know? I remember the number six general hospital out there in the desert. King Farouk was taken there. You know, there was a bit of a do one night. He was driving fast, and the corporal driving the English truck ran into him, or he ran into it. And he was taken into this hospital. As soon as he was there, of course, they had an army down there looking after him, and they had planes going over, dropping flowers with him, and what have you. It was sort of stupid. And, he was a horrid man, I believe. A friend of mine looked after him. And he was there for only a very short time. But when he left, he was dishing out orders of merit and orders of this, that, and the other. And I always remember the matron was given the order of chastity, third class, which amused us highly. Apparently the chamberlain said, "Oh, in our country we start at the top and go down." That always amused me, the order of chastity, third class. But it caused a lot of amusement when he was there. The chamberlain tried to explain that they started at the top.
Yes. Did you ever see, you were saying how Montgomery, General Montgomery and Auchinleck came round. Did you see them?
Yes. I didn't speak to them on that occasion, no. It was later on that my pet was General Horrocks.
Yes, I want to ask you a lot about that, because you were here for 2 years, weren't you? You must have been a very experienced operating sister when you left.
Well, I liked it. I've always done it, you know, and I was trained to do it, and I suppose I was adaptable, and you know.
Would you say you were given more responsibility? Being in the sort of QAs.
I don't think any more than anyone else.
Yes, I was comparing it with civilian life. You know, than you would have had, say, in your civilian hospital. Were you doing more jobs or more deep?
The variety seemed so different, wasn't it? You know, you didn't get these good invitations and things like that. Of course, in private life, I suppose we had. In civilian life, we had a certain amount of road accidents and things like that, but I don't think there was any... It was a more responsible job. It was a responsible job, but no, not more so than in a civilian hospital, I don't think. No.
Did you form any opinion as to the effectiveness of treatment that the patients had been given further up the line? You know, the way wounds were bound, for instance.
Well, there, you see, all they could do in the beginning at an army sort of kind of caring state, a lot of them, they were just put on a pressure bandage of things, you see, and they were got down to us as soon as possible because they couldn't put up blood transfusions that very much, you see, so they were got down to us as quickly as possible. But I don't know, I don't think so. I think that a lot of them are pretty well The first aid treatment, you know, I think was pretty good on the whole.
Did you find maggots again, like you did on your hospital ship?
Oh, you get a certain number. But you see, this hospital was air-conditioned. Quite a different setup altogether. I wasn't in a desert hospital, only for about a week before I came home. I was pretty in a desert hospital. I was in this one. And that was, you didn't get so much. You might have got, when you took a plaster off, it had been put on. Somebody else then would get it.
Am I right in thinking that sometimes to have maggots in wounds can be beneficial?
Yes, very much so. Very much so, yes. Hey, I don't know, I suppose they revive all the pus and what have you. But,
So you were in a desert hospital for 1 week, were you?
About that, before, when I was told that I had to come home, they sent us home to get prepared for Normandy. And I was one of the people picked to come home. I suppose from a certain amount of experience. And so we had to, we went to this desert hospital just for a week to prepare. So that we'd all go from the same place down to the ship, you see, for coming home. That was the idea. That was a horrible experience. We lived in tents. And I got sort of an orange box arrangement for a chest of drawers, and I remember one night going out, I was taken out to Cairo for a meal, and this chap that had brought me a box of his chocolates, I took them home and put them in the top drawer, and I thought nothing of it. I went to bed, I went on duty next morning, and when I came over at 10 o'clock to change my uniform, we always did this, you see, put on a clean white uniform, 10 o'clock during the coffee break, and I walked over to my tent, there was a black snake like that going along, ants. And they went and they climbed up and they got into this chest of drawers, it wasn't a very efficient chest of drawers, and they got eaten through the cardboard and they were in the box. It was horrible. We had to put all the beds in tin. We used to use the old cigarette tins, and we had white, the round ones holding 50 players. And we put them all in oil or water. And all the feet of the beds always went into these. Otherwise, they would have crawled up and got into the wounds, you see. So that was one thing that we always had to do out there, wherever the hospital was. Mm. Otherwise, as they would have been infested.
So could I ask you now about your journey back to England?
Oh, that's yes.
Did you really know
what... We came back on troop ships, you see. On the Orion, I came back. And we had an escort, of course. Wasn't very nice. But we came safely, but we were stuck in, you know... no luxury there, I assure you. About a dozen of us in one cabin, you know. But it wasn't too bad a time. It was over the New Year, I remember now. It must have been Christmas or New Year. Some of the chaps had got a bottle of champagne or whatever on board. But it was pretty crowded. We could get out on the decks and see what was going on during the day, but that was not a very pleasant journey back. We came back to the middle of winter. After living in Cairo, it wasn't very pleasant. But we came back. And then, when we got back, we were sent to different places. I was sent to Wales, South Wales. And we were put into some listen huts there. And then I was put into a mental home. Look out. It was a military or a psychiatric hospital. And I mean, I wasn't allowed to do anything because they had all male nurses there. You see, they thought it would be good to have someone there. And of course, it excited these men to see a woman around the place. And anyway, I was only there for about a week, and then we were all taken to Oxford, to Brasenose College, where we assembled ready for D-Day.
Did you have any idea that you were being prepared for the invasion? They told you, did they?
Oh, yes, we knew that. But we were not told, of course, when it was, but we were all asked, we were in Oxford for about a week, I suppose, or so. And then we were told we had to all assemble in the hall at 6 o'clock that evening, and then the matron read out the thing about the invasion.